I want to speak to you today on the fear of the Lord, and then on the fear that we're not supposed to have. In Proverbs 9:10, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." That's what we need to have. And Brother Zach was telling me, I believe last night, he said, I'd like for it justly to be said about me when I'm gone, this was a man that feared the Lord. And I'd like to say, and I'm sure he feels the same way, I'd like it to be felt about me that here's a man that loved the Lord with all of his heart and feared him, but was not afraid to trust him. And so in Psalm 34, David says, "There fear the Lord, for there's no want to them that fear him." Now, how about that? Isn't that a glorious promise? There's no want. I remember when I was in my 20s writing an article on wanting nothing, and that's how it can be. If you fear God, he will uphold you by his mighty power and by his mighty grace. And we have so many testimonies of that. We have so many examples of that in the scriptures, that when men feared God, the great things happened. Gideon was, we see him there in 2 Samuel, when he was coming before the Midianites, and he had 30,000. There were 30,000 there, and. God told him, "That's too many, you know." So he sent all that were fearful and unbelieving. He sent there were 22,000 that he got rid of on the first go around. The ones that were fearful and unbelieving, and you know that brings before me the whole idea that good people can be a fearful people, fearful to trust God. In Proverbs 3, it says, 3:5, it says, "Trust the Lord with all thy heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct thy paths." And folks, he will do that. It doesn't matter whether it's a financial prayer that you have, if it's a career thing, if you have your heart stayed on God, if you want God's will for you, and if you trust in him, he will bring it to pass. This is not just something that looks good. It really works that way. Now, I remember when I was I grew up as a real country boy, and when I say country boy, I mean real country. I was so timid. I remember going in the Navy, and I was at this place waiting for the next train, I think it was, and I really needed to use the bathroom, so I saw this old salty chief sitting up over there, and I said, "Where's the nearest restroom?" He said, "What's the matter, boy? Are you tired?" And man, I just crushed me, you know, because you know he didn't mean any harm, but he didn't. I guess that's one of the reasons ways they break in, these guys that, you know, they're so timid. And God used the service to get me out of the timidity. And I thought God had made me way too small and too short. And So I began, I began to really look to the Lord and trust in Him and rely on Him, and just He taught me to begin to just use what I had and not worry about what I didn't have. And I remember when we were supposed to go up, climb up a net into the ship about, once it was 40 feet and another time it was 60 feet that we had to climb up this cargo net into the ship. And it was banging back and forth. The waves had the thing banging back and forth. And you had to be careful because that you might step where you used to be, where it used to be, where the net used to be. You had to be careful or you might just miss it altogether. But God taught me that, hey, I had a 60-pound pack on my back, nearly as big as I was, and I always made it. And here, some of these big old guys, they didn't make it, and they fell completely down in the ship. And so, I began to realize, hey, God don't make any mistakes. He doesn't, in the first place, He doesn't have a physical ideal. There's not somebody, I mean, it's not 6 foot, it's not 6'2", it's not 5'10". It's how God made you. God didn't make any mistakes when He made you. So I believe that God began to teach me to trust Him and to rely on Him. And then, He used the service, you know, to bring me. I went all the way from San Diego, California, across the, when they said near Baltimore, Maryland, I thought, man, is that in the United States? It sounds so foreign to me. And well, I got over there and I met my future wife there, probably one of the greatest days of my life. Outside of when I was born again and converted, outside of that, probably the best day of my life. And for almost 60 years, we had a wonderful marriage, a wonderful life together. But God sure was a trying time when one of my prayers was, Lord, let me live a little bit longer than her, so I can either take care of her or supervise taking care of her. And God gave me that privilege. But I think I had in mind months, not years, of going before me. I don't think I had several years, you know. And yet God, I guess, is not finished with me yet. And so I asked Brother Zach one day. I said, Brother Zach, what is Theta doing over there? What are they doing in heaven tonight? And I really wanted to know. I didn't want any just pat answers. I wanted to know what is going on in heaven tonight. Well, listen, this, as he said earlier, if you think this is good, wait till you get to heaven. And Theta knows that in her spirit. I believe she knows that already. I believe she's enjoying that already. And so the fear of God is something, fearing Him and loving Him and obeying Him. This is what we all ought to strive for, but we should not fear. We should not fear man. We should not fear the future. We should not fear getting old. We should not fear. You can't live in fear. You can't get out on the freeway and be afraid that a Big Mac's going to take you under. You can't live and walk in fear. But if you trust the Lord, then He's going to bring it to pass. He's going to use you for His glory and for His honor. I remember I was in Mexico years ago, and there was I had brought some Harley Davidson parts down for some policemen, and this assistant chief there of this city of Cordoba, Veracruz, was in charge of 19 Harley Davidson drivers, and so it was kind of hard for them to get parts. And when they could, it was very expensive. So I brought him some parts down there, and I went to the cemetery where he was. They said he's over there, so I went over there to give him these parts, and I was glad I did because it was the first day of All Saints Day, they call it. So in Halloween they have 2 days in down there, and instead of one, and the first day they. They tell them to bring cut flowers to put on their loved one's grave and then their favorite meal. And during the night, the spirits of the loved ones will come out and eat, and they can fellowship and eat together. It was a real lie. And it was a real, it's not just a lie, but a very demonic thing. And this little girl, 10-year-old girl, brought cut flowers to her school that day. And she was told that she'd get to communicate with her departed teacher. And she had told him, said she was going to come back and fellowship with him. So she was told to bring cut flowers, and so she did. And about 100 other people, kids in that in her age group, they took so sick they couldn't hold anything on their stomach. They had excruciating pain in their neck, just all kinds of fear and darkness. And so this mother of this 10-year-old had heard that we were praying for people and God was blessing them all around that we were visiting, and so we went and I explained to her that this was a horrible sin. It was a very demonic thing that they were doing, and that's why they were hit with this. And I said, I'm explaining this so that you never subject your daughter to this again. And she said, well, she sure wouldn't. And so I said, as far as this time, you know, if you will just acknowledge this was a sin and just promise to not ever do this again, God will cleanse your daughter and set her free. So we prayed for her, and she was immediately free of this excruciating pain and darkness and fear. I guess the fear was the worst of all the symptoms that she had. So the mother, about 3 days later, she waited 3 or 4 days so that she'd be sure that that wasn't coming back. She called and said, my daughter is free from this, and I thank you so much. Well, does God care about his people? Does God care about darkness and fear and things like that? Well, he cares, and he loves us so much that he will, says her, but we need to understand that there are certain things we're not supposed to subject ourselves to demonic things like that. And some people think that Halloween is just a joke, but I promise you that the things that I experienced down there, I promise you that that's no joke. But I also promise you that God is greater than all of that, and that he can set us free from all those things. Well, whether it's, someone said there's 365 places in the scriptures where it says, do not be afraid, fear not. Well, I know for a fact, I haven't counted up every time, but I imagine that is the truth, because you're going to have a pretty good handful of papers when you start running off all the places on the computer when you pull up fear, and because I've done it, and God does not want you to fear. We have so many different kind of fears. What is a fear for you may not be the fear for somebody else, but we're so prone to be afraid, and God does not want us to be afraid. He wants us to trust Him and lean not to our own understanding. And it reminds me of an occasion where the people were just besieged by the enemy, the Philistines, just by they were everywhere, camels and horses and things. They were just like they were just surrounded. It was, and Gideon's well, that was the other story. Gideon's army, they reduced them from 30,000 to 300, and then they went out to and faced the Midianites and were more than conquerors. But in this case, they were just, what could they do? I mean, they're just a small army, and they're just surrounded. And God said, "Don't go up. You just wait until you hear the noise in the mulberry trees, the top of the mulberry trees, when you hear that sound, then you can go up." And they so what happened was the sound, it's the word, they use the word the goings up in the top of a mulberry tree. But what the word really means, it means that there's a sound of marching army. That's they're just not just marching, but it's like a thundering sound, that that army is making. And can you imagine the army, the opposing army? Here they are thinking they got everything on their side, and then they hear that, and it scared the daylights out of them, and they started running, and then Israel defeated them with a great sword. So as Brother Zach used the appropriate term, that there's nothing too hard for the Lord. So here God was in Psalm 2 and 3, it just gives a picture of all that the enemy comes and he's raging. He has such a rage against God and against his believing people. But it said who is in the heavens shall look upon and laugh at them and laugh at their, because he's just fixing to bring a great destruction upon them. So we see so many situations throughout the Bible when I think one of the greatest. Two of the greatest occasions about fear not was when in Matthew 1 it says, "Fear not, Joseph, to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." What a glorious thing. What a glorious thing. And then in Luke, then the Spirit is talking to Mary and telling her, she shall be favored amongst all women, and to not be afraid. And God speaks to you and I, whatever he's calling us to do, we just need to be sure it's his will, but don't be afraid to trust him. When in Paul's letter to the Philippian brethren, it seems to me like the second chapter of Philippians and the third chapter of Colossians are kind of like a Bible within themselves. But in Philippians 2, it says, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one mind and one accord. Let nothing be done through strife and vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. And look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given. Wherefore, as you've always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both a will and to do of his good pleasure. When we do things in the fear of God, And we're not fearful and unbelieving, then God is going to bring it to pass. He's going to bless. So we need to fear God, and which is the beginning of wisdom. And we need to trust God, to believe in him, trust him with all of our hearts and all of our souls. But we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to live in fear. And if there's anything I would... some of the young people here today, if there's just any one thing or two things I would really like you to remember after today. One is to fear God and keep his commandments. And the other is don't be afraid to trust him. Don't be afraid to look to him and call upon his name, because he's going to help you in the day of trouble, and he's also going to rejoice with you in the day of rejoicing. I just love that whole idea. Rejoice, and again I say rejoice. God wants his people to learn to trust him so that they can rejoice in a Savior's love. And I just love all of you, and I thank God for you, and I thank God that we can all trust him and look toward the future. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.